Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Excited about our next guest, Chad Clifton. He is a Pro Bowl offensive tackle with the Green Bay Packers. He blocked the blind side of Brett Favre of Aaron Rodgers. He is a national championship winning player at the University of Tennessee back in 1998. In fact, Chad was kind enough to bring his national championship ring. So if anyone in the audience wants to take a picture with this thing, Trenton Short is our production assistant. He's also our muscle.
Yep.
So we
yep.
make sure no one runs off with it, but feel free to come up during this segment and you can get a picture with the national championship ring. Chad, we've been wanting to do this for a while, man. Appreciate you stopping by.
Really kind of you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Pleasure to be here.
So did you drive up in a big truck, like I suspected?
You know, I did. The toughest thing that I do on a day-to-day basis is just finding a spot to park an F-250 in downtown Nashville.
Yes. How'd you do here in our lot? I often have to take the
shuttle. There was no spot in the lot. I had to park out on the street. I'm hoping the truck is there when I go out.
I should have sent the shuttle. We're working out parking lot striping. That's been one of my big issues, but it's not coming around.
We're extremely honest on this show, Chad, as you know, and Chad Withrove does not like his first name. Do you like yours?
I'm not a big fan of the name Chad.
Well, Chad is actually not my first name. It's Jeffrey Chad Clifton.
So and, did you go with Chad, or did someone
my
else
mother
do that for
chose
you?
Chad.
Okay.
All her friends, this is a story I got at least. Her friends love the name Chad, so that was it. That's what they went with.
Okay.
So I
must have been a big like late 70s, 80s thing. But you know, the name Chad
mid-70s.
Usually has a negative connotation to it. If you're talking about
really?
Chad, yeah, it's usually like
preppy.
They're kind of unique. It's a unique name.
Kind of a tool is how I would describe
Bama
it.
Bangs.
Yeah.
Bama Bangs.
Bama Bangs. Yeah. Yeah.
Frat boy.
It's better than Bubba.
Which I'm all of those
true.
Things.
Bubba Clifton.
And I had all those things. Chad, so Jonathan Hunt was talking about his first visit to Lambeau last night.
Yeah.
In Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't know if you heard his description of it, but how would you best describe Green Bay, Wisconsin to someone who's never been there, having spent your entire NFL career in that city?
I would say if you're an SEC fan, football fan, it's the closest thing. There's a handful of teams in the NFL. I would say traditional teams like Green Bay, the Steelers, probably New England, have a real SEC feel, just with the Kansas City also, with the tailgating, just the pageantry before the game. And that's what I would compare it to. If you're a football fan, that's it's like going to Yankee Stadium. If you're a baseball fan, you've got to go there.
I don't say this like in a derogatory manner for Green Bay, but if you're a player there, what do you do? I mean, it's such a small town.
Football. You stay out of trouble.
You do stay out of trouble, but you got to go out and do something on your day
off.
Well,
it's close to Milwaukee. It's close to Chicago. It's close to Madison. Really good town. So there's, you can get out of town and go to a major city if you want to. They're close enough to drive and, have a good meal and do whatever.
It's a very cool, very cool
atmosphere. What's bigger, Green Bay, Wisconsin, or Martin, Tennessee, where you grew up?
Green Bay's got it barely,
barely.
I mean, the first time when I flew into Green Bay after I got drafted and for mini camps, you're flying into the city and you're like, wow, there's a stadium. There's an NFL team here. This is, cow pastures everywhere.
It's, yeah. Unbelievable. Well, let's go back to your playing days at Tennessee. And I mentioned this to you before we started the interview, but because of everything that's happened in the last 20 years with Tennessee football, I arrived on campus in 2000. So this is fresh off your playing days there. All sorts of success. I remember being upset if Tennessee didn't beat South Carolina by more than 4 touchdowns at the time. And now Tennessee fans would pray for a win over South Carolina. It's just amazing how things have changed. And it's almost led to your group having a mythic status because of the way people look back at that time with fondness. Is that the sense you get in your interactions with Tennessee fans?
Yeah, it is. And I'll be the first to say I was very fortunate in the time that I was at Tennessee, the mid-90s. We had a lot of great, great players, phenomenal players, great players that went on to do great things in the NFL. And it was just a great time to be a part of Tennessee football. And I'm hoping that Pruitt and the rest of the gang can get us back there.
They had the Tennessee Takeover on SEC Network recently, and we all got into watching the Tennessee-Florida game from 1998.
We had a group text about it.
It's amazing to watch the energy in that game and think back to that time period. But when you see the NFL names on both rosters, that was an incredible. You talked about the guys you played with at Tennessee, but in legendary games like that against Steve Spurrier's Florida team, I mean, there are Javon Curse is flying around the field. You know, Bob Stoops is leading the defense. It's amazing to watch those guys that you went up against and you blocked at Florida and those SEC schools.
Absolutely. You know, playing at Tennessee and playing against the talent that you have to play against in the SEC, Javon Curse at Florida, prepared me for the NFL like no other. If I had gone to some other school, maybe not in the SEC, I don't know that I would have been as prepared to come in as a rookie in the NFL and start.
Chad Clifton, our guest here on the Midday 180. When people come up to you and say, hey, tell me about your favorite football memory, do you think about college or pro first? Is there a matchup that comes to mind immediately?
Does it depend on where you're doing the interview?
Yeah, maybe. you know, obviously the two that come to mind, I'll give you two, are the national championship and the Super Bowl that we won in 2010. Both are special to me for probably different reasons. The 98 championship, it was my first, you know, championship. And it, you know, when you're playing with, for your state, for your, you know, the school that I grew up watching, it means it's just that more special. And the NFL championship, having my family out there on the field, having my two boys out there holding the Lombardi trophy, that's, you know, it's documented. I've got pictures of it. It's, you know, that's a special thing and something that you'll never forget.
I don't know if I can think of, for any college football team in history, two more legendary games to open a season than 1998 Tennessee. At Syracuse, 34-33 against that great team. Keith Bullock, by the way, who's been a regular guest on our show, still is upset about the pass interference call that kept the drive going for Tennessee.
That was a legitimate pass interference call.
It was a legitimate pass interference. I can't say that to Keith when he's on here, but it definitely was a legit pass interference call. He doesn't agree, though. And then, of course, the Florida game, which was 2 weeks later. You guys had a bye week in between. Did you know going to that Syracuse game that it had the potential to be that big of a fight up there?
No. They had Donovan McNabb as quarterback. And you knew he was a good quarterback, a great quarterback. But I think you go back and watch that game. Offensively, they were so dynamic, and they did so many things well.
They have one of the Ishmael brothers on that team, too? Or was that a different team? They had some good receivers on that team, too.
That
at least one guy went pro.
Yeah. Before 98. But, you know, that 98 team, that just goes to show, like, we were a team that went to battle each and every Saturday and competed. And even when we were down, we never gave up. And that game is a classic example of that.
When you think back on that night against Florida and watching the replay of it, you know, you forget about a lot of big moments in that game. Fumble recoveries, of course, everybody remembers the Deion Grant interception. What was it about that game that jumped out to you as you're out there playing against that great Florida defense? Is there one moment other than the missed field goal that iced it? What was it that jumps out to you about that Tennessee-Florida game in 98?
Yeah, when I think about that game, I automatically go to a good friend of mine who's from West Tennessee, Al Wilson, who was just absolutely a monster in that game, all over the field. I think he caused two or three turnovers. He was an absolute beast that game. And then, you know, Sean Bryson, our, you know, pretty dynamic fullback, took it 60 yards for a touchdown. And that was, you know, that was special as offensive lineman to see that happen.
You know, there was a sense of a weight being lifted off of Philip Fulmer in that game. That was the one hurdle he could not clear, was beating Florida. Did you guys sense that with your head coach, or did he try to keep you relaxed that week? Because there's this thought that Steve Spurrier could play mental games with Philip Fulmer and get in the head of Fulmer, and then it would get in the head of Tennessee players. Did you sense a weight being lifted when he finally got that win and you guys finally got over that hurdle?
You know, if Fulmer, if he had that weight on his shoulders, he did a great job of hiding it from us. I think the players probably wanted to beat Florida every bit as much as Fulmer did. I mean, I think it was more a thing for us. Like, we have to beat this team. We've got the talent. We've had years where we were close, 95. We should have, in my opinion, should have beat them in 95. And it was just time. And so, you know, stars kind of aligned. We were playing well, and we got the victory.
So, Chad, do you feel a more solid sense of security now that Philip Fulmer is the athletic director at Tennessee, being a former player of his?
Absolutely. Just knowing his passion that he has for the university and for that program, I know he's doing everything in his power to get us back going in the right direction.
Have you had any interaction with Jeremy Pruitt yet, or just initial first thoughts of the hire?
Yes. I think it's a great hire. I mean, he's a football guy through and through. I've seen him speak a couple of times now. He was in Nashville back after, I guess, signing day. And then he had a function up at his house just a couple of weeks ago that we went to. So,
good positive impression of him so far?
Oh, absolutely. Him and the coaching staff, they're dedicated to get Tennessee football back on track.
Now, the 20-year anniversary of the 98 National Championship team is going to happen this year at the Tennessee-Florida game. Could be a night game in Knoxville also. It's going to be quite the scene. Do you have an itinerary yet of what that's going to look like? Do you guys kind of know what to expect with that celebration?
Yes, so Friday night we'll get there and we'll have like a dinner and just kind of a cocktail hour, just kind of guys sitting around talking, catching up. And then Saturday we'll get over, we'll have a tailgate. And I don't know, I'm not sure if they're going to bring us out before or at halftime of that game, but they'll bring us out on the field, I'm sure, and kind of wave to the fans and go sit down, watch the game.
Can you tell, and this is always amazing to me to talk to players about this, there's a lot of people saying, you know, Tennessee was a little soft in the last couple of years, just watching them play. When you watch line play, and you really get nitty-gritty and watch offensive linemen play, can you gauge toughness by watching an offensive lineman play the game?
I think so. I think you watch any position, you can gauge toughness. I think, you know, obviously it's almost cliche to say, but it's also true that games are won in the trenches with your defensive line and your offensive line. And so you need to have big boys in the trenches that don't mind getting dirty and don't mind throwing their weight around to win games. And so I think that's what they're trying to accomplish.
Tennessee's got a great track record with West Tennessee offensive linemen, you being one of them, Trey Smith. Now a freshman All-American, a guy from Jackson, Tennessee. What do you think when you watch Trey Smith play the game?
He's the type of offensive lineman that Tennessee needs across the board. So take that mold and scour the country for that type of player, because that's what you need.
Chad Clifton is our guest here on the Midday 180. You blocked the blind side. You blocked for Peyton Manning in college, T. Martin, of course, national championship winning quarterback, for Brett Favre, and for Aaron Rodgers. There's not a lot of offensive linemen who can have that type of lineage in terms of quarterback that they've blocked for. What was the big takeaway from each of those guys? So how different was it to play with those guys and sort of respond to what they wanted?
Well, they're, you know, all three of those guys, and you know, all three, like being Aaron, Brett,
the big Peyton, NFL stars. Yeah.
They're, you know, those are all Canton guys. They're going to be in Canton, Ohio. Brett already is. And, you know, they're all superstar quarterbacks. They're different in their own right. Brett being just the quintessential tough Iron Man type player. You want every player at every position to be as tough as Brett Favre. Cannon for an arm. Peyton is just so cerebral with it. He studies like no other person I've ever seen. He's so prepared. And Aaron is, you know, he's a combination of the two. He's got a rocket for an arm. He can also escape. He's great at getting out of a bad situation and making something happen with his feet and throwing it on a rope, you know, 50 yards down the field. So just, like I said earlier, very fortunate in the type of players that I've been able to play with throughout my career.
Aaron's got just the one Super Bowl. He's probably got, what, 6 years left, whatever. Ted Thompson's moved on. What do you think about the organizational direction? And, you know, we had this conversation yesterday. You get tied up in this thing where, like, the quarterback can take you so far that sometimes it's tempting not to do the things he needs done to help him the most, as opposed to focusing on other areas. They got to get another Super Bowl at least out of this team with him at the helm, right?
You would hope so. And they've been close. You know, they've gone to a couple of NFC Championship games since I retired. Even, with the talent that Aaron has, it would be a shame if they did not get back to the Super Bowl and at least get one more. With that being said, he can't do it on his own. You have to have talent around him, and Green Bay throughout, at least recent history, has done that through the draft, and so we'll see how these young players do.
Are you surprised when Jordy Nelson moved on, when they let that happen?
I kind of was surprised with that. That's Aaron's go-to guy, but I do know this: he's had some injuries the past couple of years, and I'm sure that was an issue. And they might have thought, hey, it's better just to go ahead and cut ties and move on and bring somebody else in.
Do you try to see them on Sunday? Do you watch whatever's on local TV here if it's the Titans? How do you follow the NFL?
Yeah, I do. Green Bay's not on all that much down here, but I do watch them when they're on. Otherwise, following the Titans. You know, I have become a Titans fan since moving to the city.
What do you think of the direction they're headed and a new rookie head coach taking over a playoff team?
Yeah, I think they're definitely heading in the right direction. I do. They've got a lot of young talent on this team, and as long as they continue to mature and go to work each and every day with a good mindset and ready to work, the sky's the limit with that team. And you know this, you go as your quarterback goes. So Mariota's going to have to play some really good football.
Chad Clifton, our guest, we were discussing Manning, Favre, and Rodgers. All three of those guys give great gifts to the offensive line from time to time.
Ooh, not so much Brett.
He just takes you hunting?
No, he didn't do that either, but he would occasional dinner.
Occasional
dinner, yes, yes. So very tight with his money.
What would it take to have the occasional dinner from Brett Favre?
Somebody else paying for it.
Oh.
So how many nice dinners did you take Brett Favre out to?
At his restaurant, Brett Favre Steakhouse in Green Bay, that would be our dinner on occasion. And then, but Aaron was great with that. You know, some nice watches, and he was good at the gifts.
Was it ever
Peyton?
We were in college, so it was.
We don't want to get Tennessee in trouble. The NCAA.
Great meal plan at Tennessee.
He didn't have a lot of money. As I went. Of course, he was the son of an NFL quarterback, so I guess his family did have some money. What was it difficult to play with Peyton Manning at times? He seems like such a demanding guy. You know, you hear these stories about Michael Jordan, for instance, that was so demanding, and it would be tough for a lot of guys to get along with a personality like that. Was he ever difficult to get along with over the course of a game?
You know, not in college. I think we're all kind of coming into our own at that point, kind of figuring things out. He was not difficult to get along with at all, by any stretch of the imagination, in college. We had a great time, a lot of fun playing with him and my teammates at Tennessee.
Did you ever think about joining him in Indy? At any point during your career?
No. We had a great thing going in Green Bay, and I was going to ride that train as long as I could. So
I don't blame you, but just the connection there. I wonder if you guys ever talked about that or not.
No, it just never happened that way. Towards the end of my career, after I got released from Green Bay, I did contemplate, like, okay, do I want to try to come back? Do I want to continue? And by that point, my body was just, it was done. And so I made the right decision in going ahead and retiring.
Would you ever consider getting into coaching?
Possibly. You know, my kids were at the age where they were so young, I wanted to be around them more and kind of help with their sporting events. And so that's what I chose to do. But once they grow, you know, once you get out of the house, maybe, potentially.
I'm sure you're tired of being asked about this, but we have to ask. Did Warren Sapp ever reach out to you after that hit?
You know, we played them the very next year back in Tampa, and we were both captains for that game. So we shook hands. He's like, you know, great to see you out here. I'm glad you're back. And that was enough.
Do you think it was a dirty play?
You know, it was uncalled for. It was an unnecessary hit.
Yeah, and your coach said that.
Yeah.
After the game, and Warren Sapp got into it with your coach at the time.
Yes, they did.
It was Sherman, right?
Mike Sherman, right. So you look back on it, we're 30 or 40 yards away from the play. The guy was actually going out of bounds right when he clocked me. But, you know, you got to keep your head on a swivel. You know, it's those type of hits happen. It's unfortunate that I got injured on that play. And then what happened after the game with him and Mike Sherman, you know, it blew it up even more. So, But, you know, the following year he did, you know, we shook hands.
He at least acknowledged.
He acknowledged was happy to see it and glad to see you healthy, and that was enough.
You have a much healthier perspective about that hit than I would have had if that was me. My career would have been put in danger on that.
Same. Chad Clifton has been our guest. Thanks so much for coming in studio with us.
This has been awesome.
Yeah, we've been talking about trying to connect with you for quite some time, so this has been great.
Well, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure, and we'll do it again.
Appreciate it.
And I'm glad we were able to get the championship ring out of the safe for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it's great to get the dust off of it and take some pictures with it. I mean, it needs to get used.
Yeah, so it's here.
Next time, Super Bowl ring.
So you want to loan it to me next time?
Yeah, when we do the 20 reunion for the Super Bowl, Green Bay Packers Super Bowl championship here in Nashville,
you'll be right back.
I'll bring that one.
Yes.